Hi, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about food here in Columbus and the Columbus restaurant scene on All Sides Weekend. Joining me this morning is WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak and his son Rich, and Columbus food and restaurant writer Steve Stover is here with us. You're invited to join the conversation. Come to the table with your restaurant suggestions as well. Steve, you put together something of a obituary section here. Unfortunately, a number of restaurants didn't make it through last year. Many of us almost didn't make it through last year.
I had a tough time making it through this morning, actually.
It was a tough year. There was a huge economic downturn last fall, and it hit the restaurant industry particularly hard.
And particularly at the high end. I think it was the fine dining restaurants that took the heat the most. And it also signals in some other ways a generational shift or a changing of the guard. We lost Hankey's Cuisine. Chef Hankey had sold it a year before, and then it closed about last July, a year after. The good news is that executive sous chef Aza Rodriguez moved to the Columbus Club, and the ever-popular Christian, who was the maitre d', is now at Rigsby. So there's still some of the tea people are still around.
Now, was that a case, though, of Chef Hankey leaving and the restaurant simply couldn't be sustained without his presence?
I think there are two factors. Yes, that's part of it. And secondly, the new people who bought it kept the staff so that the quality of the food was wonderful. But, you know, there are really three parts to having a restaurant. There's the food, there's the front of the house, and the service, and the business side. And I think the food was excellent even the last night. We were there with the Terapaks the last night they were open. The food was still excellent. It was the business side, which that was a demise, plus the economy. I'm sure that was part of it.
It's unfortunate because the bar that opened upstairs as part of the restaurant was really doing pretty well and I think could have held it on, but they were too far gone by that time.
Right. I think the folks that purchased it from Chef Hankey did not have a great deal of experience in running restaurants.
And granted, I think they were out of town.
They were. I think they had had a pizza franchise before that. And although they kept the staff on, you know, which kept, like you said, the food quality high, I don't think, you know, combined with the economic downturn, that it was just a bad hand to be dealt.
Just sort of perfect storm.
Yes.
And another huge blow was the loss of Rosendale's. Richard Rosendale was here about 3 years. He had shifted things around. There was at the end, there was fine dining upstairs and sort of a more casual dining downstairs, plus details of wine bar immediately adjacent to it. But as Richard told me, as soon as it was announced that he had been named the executive chef at the Greenbrier, their covers dropped by 3/4, and it was just doomed from the beginning. But there, possibly the two best restaurants in Columbus closing in the single year. And then we
had both of them related to personality, actually. When Hankey left, that helped him in demise, and with Rich leaving.
How important is that to have either an owner or a chef on the premises who really connects with people, who shows that kind of creativity and that kind of warmth and hospitality?
I think it lends a great deal of credibility to any restaurant. And not only that, the social aspect of it, you know, people enjoy saying that they know Chef so-and-so. Mm. You know, it makes them feel important in a way.
Well, they are celebrities in their own way.
Yeah, exactly. They are. So, yeah.
Then we have La Tavola, also in my top 10, Rick and Krista Lopez's second incarnation on Riverside Drive, just south of 161. Italian, great views from the patio. That closed later last year, and Tom's on Grandview. So there were four of at least my top 11 restaurants that closed in 2009. Add to that Morton's, one of the five top steakhouses in Columbus. What about some of the other closings?
Well, we've got the Buckeye Hall of Fame, unfortunately.
Looked crowded
all the time. Mm-hmm. I know. Maybe.
I think it was on certain occasions. It was just too many square feet to fill up on a regular basis.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, when you think of going to the Buckeye Cafe, that's when it's packed. When you don't think of it, if you wander in there, you're not going to see anyone.
And there was another aspect. I think they wanted the space for a hotel. So maybe even if it had been successful. And I think it was a great concept. I really do. If they had probably had better food and way less space and a big bar scene, I think that could have been successful. But, you know, the whole idea of football games and your local.
It would be a great concept on the first floor of a hotel.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe it's a good place for a casino.
No.
292-8513. We're talking about restaurants with Rich Terapak and his son, Rich, who do restaurant reviews here on WOSU and on our website, WOSU.org. And Steve Stover, who writes for Cuisine Scene for City Scene magazine, among other projects. It's nice to have you back here.
Thank you.
And, of course, we're inviting the audience to call in with their comments or their recommendations for restaurants here in Columbus, 292-8513.
And it's too bad another of the closings was Shane's, that a gourmet market, a gourmet catering place located on Livingston.
Near German Village.
Yeah, near German Village, near Children's Hospital.
Now, that was a place where you could go, kind of a delicatessen almost, that you'd go and buy.
You could buy, European groceries there, or, they also prepared food. And a large portion of their business is the catering side. They had the Muirfield Golf Tournament, for example, which is quite a large catering gig. So I know for a fact that the restaurant is closing down on East Main Street, and they're currently evaluating their catering business to see how it can do moving forward. So it's Shane's isn't necessarily out of the market, but the store is for sure.
Now, as much publicity as Rosendale's got, not only from the inception stage when they were just converting that old car dealership into a restaurant, Shane's got so little publicity on their end. I don't even think I heard about it until about 6 months ago.
Yeah, Rosendale moving into Columbus, had quite a reputation
at the time.
He had just participated in the Bocuse d'Or. He had a lot of the foodies in Columbus, including some of your guys' friends and you guys, mentioning him a lot. And it was great for getting his name out there. It's unfortunate that didn't work out.
292-8513, and Bruce is joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just making a comment about Rosendale's. I eat a lot of nice restaurants here in the city, and my first experience with Rosendale's was that the service was very sloppy, and I think it was very casual, and I don't think it was, in my opinion, and I think a lot of my friends' opinion, it wasn't what it was made up to be, I think. And I've also eaten in the other restaurants when they opened the little restaurants, the tiny bar scene.
Details.
Details, and the service was slow, and the food was not good, and I think he came into town as, being a very big wig, but I think after a couple months, I think it really went downhill quick.
A lot of people think it never lived up to its height.
My opinion, it never did. And my favorite restaurant I just love is Lantibes. I think it's very,
very good restaurant.
The new owners are very nice. The food's impeccable. The service is impeccable.
New owners and Jeff, formerly at Hankey's, is there. But in response to you, I always had outstanding meals at Rosendale's. I do agree that service, as I said, it's the kitchen, the front of the house, and the business side. You got to have all three, and I think that service was sometimes lacking. Although I think it improved toward the end. And
I think initially too, the price points were too high for what they were serving for the Columbus market.
Well, I don't mind the price point, in my opinion, but they are dressed like they are working at Max and Irma's or something with khaki pants and wrinkled blue shirts. They should have been dressed a little nicer as a server, and they should have knew how to present food and to take an order. And that was my big thing.
No,
they weren't professional.
Bruce, I actually agree with you. I was not nearly as big of a fan of Rosendale's as many other people. I ate there several times. I actually ended up, though, however, liking Details, the little place next door. I thought their pot stickers were great, along with their pulled pork tacos and their tuna tacos. I thought were great, but I absolutely agree with you on the rest of the points.
And we agree with you on Lantibes, too.
Yes.
Absolutely. And
support your local restaurants. Of the top five, we've still got Lantibes, the Refectory, and I think Rigsby's has emerged as sort of the star. And so we need to support those Columbus restaurants.
I agree. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Bruce.
You.
And Bruce brings up another point that a whole generation of children need to be introduced to. An appliance called an iron. None of them seem to know what does.
Or a steamer.
Either way.
Well, before we move on to, I hope, happier news, there were a couple more closings that we wanted to mention.
Okay.
Maca Cafe, the wonderful Spanish tapas wine bar up in Powell. Buck Mulligan's, which really never got started at Creekside in Gahanna. And, Rich, you mentioned Otero's downtown.
Yeah, Otero's a small little just soup shop down on High Street near Gay downtown. It's got an old sign. You might recognize it. Recently closed its doors.
Too much competition on Gay Street, I think.
Yeah, 2928513. And that does bring up a number of restaurants have actually opened in Columbus in the last year or 18 months. One of them is a delightful little place on Gay Street that we visited not too long ago.
The Plantain Cafe?
That's right. Yeah. Now small Cuban restaurant.
Right.
Cuban style, very limited menu, very, you know, one of those long, narrow restaurants, only open for lunch. But, we enjoyed our food there.
And we had great service, even though they only had, I think, two servers
Yeah, it was like their third day open, and one of their servers had quit that morning. So
that's a tough one.
They were hanging in there just fine.
It's the Plantain Cafe, and it's near Gay and Third.
Next to the Tip Top.
2928513, and Gary is joining us. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I was curious about how the Top Steakhouse is doing out on the east side.
Well, Rich can answer that question.
Yeah, actually, that's my local hangout. I live about four blocks from there. They're doing terrific. I spoke to the owner, one of the owners, Jean Adkins, a few months ago. She told me that year over year they were up, I think, like 16% in revenues, which is remarkable in 2009. The food's top-notch. Jean and her husband, the chef, Denver, have really brought the place back to the quality that it always
– It's a wonderful retro experience, too. It reminds you of, for those of us who can remember, of a 60s place. It's a steakhouse. It has the, the piano player and the bar scene. It looks exactly like it did. I grew up in the neighborhood. It looks exactly like it did in 1958.
But no smoke.
No smoke.
Right. And no, it's my favorite steakhouse in the city. It's an experience unique to itself. It is also the only one that does not serve all its food a la carte off the menu. You actually order a dinner. You get a large salad, a steak,
potato.
And it's actually a great value as well.
Yeah, I've gone there for years, and even when I was like 8 or 10 years old, I used to go with my mother. And it was just always an impressive experience. I'm glad to hear they're well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call.
Go back.
And I think that the Top also made the Dispatch's top 10 or top 20 restaurants in Columbus this year.
They did.
Top 20, I think.
Yeah. John Christensen has stepped up his opinion of them a great deal like I said, the new ownership group took over and really found their footing over the last – I think they took over about 3 or 4 years ago, and they've really hit their stride.
2928513, we're talking about restaurants. With restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak and his son Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU, and with Steve Stover, who writes about restaurants and food here in Columbus and in City Scene magazine. We've just got about 30 seconds here before we have to take a break and remind you that the number is 2928513, and if you're feeling shy or uncomfortable, you can email us at allsideswosu.org. I'm Marilyn Smith.
On your morning commute, get the stories behind the headlines with Morning Edition.
Valdini Reis, who is from Brazil, has been in the United States since May. Reis is a Christian, but this will be her first Christmas in America.
I think you used to decorate much more, streets and homes. I guess this tradition in Brazil is not that so strong anymore.
Start your day with the award-winning WOSU news team on WOSU 89.7 FM.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News. 14 degrees in downtown Columbus, a winter weather advisory in effect until 4 o'clock this afternoon. You could see a little snow this afternoon, but an accumulation of less than an inch. A high of 20 degrees. Cloudy tonight with a low of 10 degrees. Cloudy for Saturday with a high right around 20. And sunny on Sunday with a high of 20 degrees. All Sides Weekend continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Good morning. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about restaurants and places to eat here in Columbus, some good food. We did an obit during the last section of the show.
But it's a new decade.
It's a new decade, and a number of restaurants have opened. We're talking with restaurant critics Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Steve Stover. And in addition to your obituary list, Steve, you've kind of done a rundown here. Listing the new restaurants that have come.
Yeah, and it's been a slow period. Columbus restaurant scene is very vibrant and lively, but it's been relatively slow. But I think there's a lot of good news here. And one of my favorites is Third and Hollywood. The young folks from North Star Cafe opened more of a upscale restaurant, sit-down service bar on 3rd Avenue, just east of Grandview Avenue.
At a street that's actually called Hollywood.
Right. 3rd and Hollywood, and it's the old Gibby's location with the brick walls at the fireplace. Mm-hmm. A lot of local sourcing, a lot of the same themes that they have. And, you know, they've got a really upscale hamburger that the owner, Kevin, says it's the only hamburger in town that you can eat rare and be sure that it's going to be good because they grind their own meat. And
Kobe
they're actually talking about another North Star, by the way. Maybe I'm ahead of myself. At Easton in the old Smith and Hawken location. And then one other one, and then these guys can talk about some of their favorites, but the Cambridge Tea House. Cute little place.
You know, the cute part is seeing these guys at a tea house eating savory sandwiches.
We were the only men in the place. Scones.
Steve and John Christensen and I.
What a trio.
And the
only male server seemed so relieved to have some other male in the business.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was
and the owner's daughter is starting a new magazine that I think is going to be important, and it's called Edible Columbus. And it's going to focus on the local food scene and local sourcing and a sustainable agriculture and all those kind of things. And I'm going to write an article for the inaugural issue. Betty Rossbottom's going to make a comeback and do an article. And
dust her off and bring her back. Huh?
And it'll be fun. I think it'll be a good addition to the Columbus food scene because they're very sensitive to the Dine Originals and local sourcing.
And they've got great scones.
Great scones.
Well, they have scones and they have little sandwiches.
Yeah, and salads and soup.
And there is actually a high tea that's served, or high tea, as some people call it, at 4 or something in the afternoon.
Surprisingly, no barbecue.
No Kobe beef burgers.
2928513, and Courtney has been on the line here. Hi, Courtney.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask everyone while we have the panel here, my sister-in-law is going to be coming to this city for grad school, and she's a native Floridian by way of California, which is, you know, that kind of healthy, veggie, light fish kind of food. Where can I take her for her inaugural couple of meals when she's here for her visit in a week? She wants to look at campus and maybe the Gahanna area, Creekside. What do you guys recommend?
Did you say vegetarian?
Not vegetarian, okay. But she does do meat, but lots of vegetables, fresh kind of, you know, she's a Florida, California girl.
Well, California cuisine, my first choice would be Rigsby's Kitchen. I mean, it is sort of an Italian theme, but they're probably the first and most important with local sourcing, light, and he got his start at Lindy's, which was sort of the first Alice Waters flavored restaurant. That would be one good choice.
I think
choice.
North Star or any of the North Star affiliates would be good. They're all local sourcing. They do have meat items, but they do have a veggie burger that's the best in town. I think that'd be a good one.
And Dragonfly was one of the ones that you were kind of hinting at. It is vegetarian.
Right. I heard veggie, but it's one of John Christensen's, and in case you didn't, he's the main reviewer from the Dispatch. It is one of his favorites in the city. It's called Dragonfly. It is vegetarian, but extremely flavorful.
Yeah.
Excellent food.
Oh, great. That's awesome. Now, where in Gahanna would you think?
Where in Gahanna?
Well, we like Lola's for Italian.
It's kind of old school Italian. It's,
and there's Mezzo in the Creekside. But if you're more California cuisine, I think you'd be better off starting in the Short North.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you ever did want to introduce your sister, was it, to the Midwest, City Barbecue.
There you go.
Well, I know
the place
that.
To go. Okay.
That's a Gahanna.
That's what we're going to greet her with when she gets off the plane.
There you go.
Exactly.
Got to do something else to follow that up, though.
Okay. A White Castle will be jealous.
No, we really like her. We want her to stay.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you
so much for your call. I hope it's not the last call that we get here.
The Ocean Club at Easton would be another location. I think
that's someone near Gahanna as well. Yeah.
2928513, this is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about food and restaurants in Columbus with Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Steve Stover. If you have a question or a recommendation, give us a call, 2928513. And we do have a quick email, a question from Mark, who wants to know why La Hacienda closed suddenly. Anybody want to take a crack at that?
Didn't know that.
Apparently, it was so sudden it went unnoticed. I'm not even sure if I know what restaurant this is.
I am not familiar with La Hacienda. Apparently, it's on Sinclair Road. I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's a west side.
Oh, okay. They're the ones that they made their own tortillas and things. Like that. It was right across from the hotel that changed its name every week, and it was good. No, I don't know, but
probably the economy.
Yeah, there are lots of wonderful Mexican choices,
including the taco trucks.
Right, and my personal favorite is Cuco's Taqueria on Henderson Road across from the original City Barbecue.
Mine too.
Yeah, love it.
I love Cuco's.
That seems to always be a choice among food critics and foodies. We might want to mention too that there is a business article every Tuesday in the Dispatch, an article on the business page dedicated to restaurants, and we may find something in there on next Tuesday. 292-8513, and Jim is on the line. Hi, Jim.
Hi there. How are you all doing today?
Good.
Good.
Have you guys been to the new restaurant on 19th and High Street right in front of OSU? It's called Alibaba's Mediterranean Grill.
I have not tried that yet.
I haven't tried it yet. But
19th and High.
Yeah. Right, thanks for the tip. What do you think of it?
Pretty far up.
It is. They make Middle Eastern food. I don't know if you're. They make it all from scratch, and the shawarma, which is like the gyros, it's the most the best one I've ate in all of Columbus area. You know.
Drive a little further down High Street as well, going north, and try Lavash. It's also a great Middle
Between
Eastern.
Between Doddridge and East North Broadway.
But thanks for the tip on Alibaba's.
I tried both of them, and that one, Alibaba's, is the best.
Wow.
Great.
That's quite an endorsement. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Elizabeth is joining us now at 292-8513. Good morning.
I have a question. I went to Restaurant Week with the Dine Originals group last fall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not clear about what the Dine Originals effort is.
Oh, and it's very exciting. This has been going on for about, I think, I remember going to their inaugural party at
4 or 5 years
at Barcelona,
yeah.
At least 5 years.
Yeah.
It is a consortium of locally owned Columbus restaurants.
Mostly chef-owned.
Mostly chef-owned. From the refectory to the deli and Katzinger's. I mean, it's a whole range of food.
There's about 40 or 45.
They're all locally owned.
All of Elizabeth Lesner's places.
They try to support each other. They do some coordinated buying, and they do some coordinated advertising. And that's what it is. And we really think it's a wonderful effort. We want to support those restaurants as much as we can. And they're going to have another one of their restaurant weeks. We were just talking about that in March. There's the 614 Magazine Restaurant Week, which doesn't include the Dine Originals, starting a week from in about 10 days, I think the 18th. And then the Dine Original ones will be closer to the spring.
So Dine Originals is the way to support the local scene.
Yes. Right. It is a nonprofit organization organized by all these local chefs and local owners.
And they do have a website.
And the leader of the pack is Diane Warren, who owns Katzinger's.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about restaurants here in Columbus. If you have any recommendations or questions, give us a call or give us an email. 292-8513, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with restaurant critics Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover. Go ahead, please.
We were mentioning some of the new and notables in the second segment here after our goodbyes to the ones who closed. I think I really enjoy, I think it's a beautiful place as well, Deep Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Also on kind of in the south part of the Short North, across from the convention center. I've had meals in the front of the house, which is more casual, mm-hmm. and also in the formal white tablecloth dining area.
Maybe
in the back.
Maybe he'll take us, Rich.
Well, I was actually just there last week. I had a wonderful stuffed rabbit dish, actually, which is great. Ooh, something
great.
You don't see everywhere. Yeah.
I had a veal chop that was terrific.
And it is, as you say, and it's an exquisite room. It's
right.
Just
actually, in the front of the house, which is the more casual dining area, is, in my opinion, even better looking than the formal area in back. The formal area in back has the, you know, white linen tablecloths, but the front has actually great, you know, oak wood floors that are beautiful.
It's a generational thing.
And what is it that they specialize in, either bourbon or
scotch.
That's
single
right.
Malt scotches. They're
great scotch selection.
Didn't mean to jump right in there.
Yes, I knew you'd know.
And also, High Street seems to be the location. Now that North High Street is finished above Hudson, Sage, I think, is a great new addition. It's actually been around a couple of years. You just couldn't get there.
Couldn't get there or park. But it's really good. Yeah. Braised. He's doing some nice braises, and it's well, very well priced.
Yeah, there's a braised pork belly appetizer that you absolutely have to try. It's served over like a corn ragu of some sort.
Yeah.
Sage is one of my new top favorites. I had a duck confit and scallop dish there
that was
absolutely
great.
Delicious. Yeah. I highly recommend it. It's kind of got like a little bit of a Barcelona feel to it. You know, it's the exposed brick walls, long, you know, narrow restaurant. It's very small, but intimate and excellent.
If the California listener is still California sister listener is still around, that would be a good
new
location.
American.
Yeah,
food.
It's called Sage, SAGE.
And that's on North High Street, just north of campus,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then we mentioned Lavash, which is one of our favorite.
We always mention Lavash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's going to be, I'm told, in one of the top 10 new restaurant lists that's going to be coming out soon. And then you guys have been to Skillet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually just went there last week with Marilyn.
And we just posted a review late last week on our website of Skillet. And this is a little, almost looks like a storefront, and I believe it was the former home of one of the bananas.
The banana bean.
The old banana bean on Whittier.
One of the bananas.
Just down from Village Cooney.
Well, we could get into a great deal of trouble talking about banana bean and banana leaves and all of it. But we did go for lunch, and I think it only seats about 10 people maybe at the most.
Yeah.
Maybe 15. Yeah. Yeah, it's tiny.
It's very small, and it's go up to the counter and place your order. It's a Cuban, Floridian kind of cuisine, I think. They do throw in one Italian sandwich. It's mostly sandwiches. I enjoy it a lot. It's highly seasoned. I think it appeals to an older palate, perhaps.
All right.
Marilyn liked it too. She's young.
Yeah. It was a little overseasoned to me.
Yeah, I thought it was a little overseasoned, but it's definitely quite original. It's very good. It's just it's a matter of how seasoned you like your food.
Yeah, I certainly think the quality is there, and it's very original, fresh kind of food.
Yeah, they do all local sourcing as well. They change their menu very frequently, which is great in my opinion.
Marilyn's sandwich was interesting. What was that? Was it Cubano?
Cuban frita, I think, with the chorizo with the egg melted over, fried egg. Uncooked yolk.
A lot of spinach on top. It was interesting. Yeah.
Arugula.
Sorry.
Another conversation we've had.
More new restaurants. Barrio, sort of a Spanish themed place.
And you'd hardly know that was a restaurant if you.
Well, it's in the old Wendy's location at Spring and High, and you're right, but it's a lively bar scene and. Tuesday night specials, lots of two-for-one specials.
That's an excellent happy hour place. And of course, tapas, small dishes.
Did we mention burgers? We now have Five Guys, several places in town, Polaris and Fifth Avenue.
And the Graffiti Burger.
The Graffiti Burger. Five Guys and Graffiti Burgers, which are almost the same concept, are within blocks of each other on West Fifth Avenue. Yeah. Sort of.
Only one is far better than the other.
That's part of
Graffiti Burger takes it by a mile, in my opinion.
Maybe it was the location of the one you tried.
I went to the Five Guys at Easton, thought it was terrible, and I went to the Graffiti Burger up on Fifth Avenue and absolutely loved it.
I think the Five Guys on West Fifth gets better grades. I don't know if they've
been.
I have not been there, but. Friends.
Well, I'll give it a shot.
I like Graffiti Burger better, too.
I think Graffiti Burger is terrific.
And look
for them to open up in more locations of former Starbucks.
Yeah. These are also kind of Dine Original folks. I don't know if they're part of the organization, but they're local restaurateurs.
I think one was with Cameron Mitchell for a while.
But that may be one of the problems with a franchise like Five Guys. It's so hard to control quality once you get to a certain size. Whereas Graffiti Burger is local, and the owners, at least at the time we were there, I think
were there.
At least one or more were Both of them were there.
Right. The original is up in Dublin. This is the second location on Fifth Avenue, and they're looking to open more.
And they, you know, they know the local sourcing. They know to get what is it, Ardino's
buns,
and they, you know, their meat purveyor is terrific. And so
2928513. We're talking about restaurants. We do have a couple of callers and email. And one of our emailers has mentioned Mazza, which is a Mediterranean eatery in Grandview, which I think is relatively new. But I've been hearing just anecdotally.
Where is it?
I think it's down on Fifth Avenue, although I'm not absolutely sure.
Well, that's my stomping grounds.
Down near the tea house. Yes, you'll have to check it out.
Is it the
No. No.
It's not a Creekside, is it?
No, this is
That's Mezza.
Mezza.
This is Mazza.
Okay.
Maryland, it's Mediterranean food, you said?
That's what I understand. And, again, I've been hearing some things about it.
Well, there it is. Mazza Mediterranean Eatery. And
it's on Grandview Avenue.
Grandview Avenue. Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, 1439 Grandview Avenue. And Sharon has been very patiently waiting for us to get to her. Good morning.
Sharon?
Hi. I was curious about what you thought about the restaurant Elena that's on High Street just north of campus. I've been wanting to try that.
Elena's is one of the long-standing favorites, and again, she was one of the original people that went to local sourcing. I remember going there years ago. It's on North High Street.
I haven't been there in a while.
North of campus. You can also – I think they still have the wine store in there, but she just is very creative, very interested in local sourcing. I still remember an heirloom tomato salad I had, and it probably was 10 years ago. And she's interesting. She's irascible. It's a lot of fun. The food is always solid. It should be in most people's top 20, I think, because I think it is one of the best restaurants in Columbus. And the owner is a real character.
And she gets a lot of her groceries while riding her bike. It's a very green kind of place.
I think it's one of the top 10 restaurants in Columbus. I absolutely love Elena's. They take a lot of chances on their menu, do a lot of things that you won't see people try elsewhere. Sometimes they might miss on things, but the majority of times they hit. And when they hit, it's something you haven't had before.
Yeah, kudos for changing the menu.
Yep.
29285. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. 2928513, and John is joining us. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and throw my support into Deepwood, too. I've been there before and had some espresso roast venison. It was just incredible. So got to agree with them on Deepwood. Just had a question. I go to the Greek festival every year, and I guess I'd like to be able to get some good Greek food more than just once a year. So I didn't know what the best place in Columbus would be to get some good Greek food.
I love the Mad Greek over in Whitehall on East Broad Street on the east side. They do, you know, for lunch it's a great place to just grab a gyro. But if you want to do a formal dinner there, I had a lamb rack for $14.99 that was tremendous. They do escargot. They do fairly high end, you know, dinner menu, but at very reasonable prices.
And they also have takeout, and in the sense they've got their various Greek salads
and their house salad is incredible. Yeah. It's one of the heartiest salads you'll ever eat.
I think there's another one in the Short North, and then there's another one up in the Campus Gateway, and then one of my favorites. It used to be in your neck of the woods, but it's now moved out to Fishing Road. It's got the unfortunate name as my big fat Greek cuisina. But it's Nicky who, from the old Fisherman's Wharf and his kids, Fishing Road, wonderful seafood, lots of Greek food, and carryout.
Bring your own Windex.
2928513. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Staten Island.
Hey,
what we got tonight?
Hey, what's up, dog? I gotta tell you, I am feeling good tonight.
The movie Big Fan, about an obsessed fan of sports radio call-in shows, comes out on DVD next week. On The Next Fresh Air, we feature an interview with the director, Robert Siegel, and the star of the film, Patton Oswalt. Join us.
Quantrell's back, baby.
Now that's a G-Men fan.
Oh,
thanks,
thank you.
Buddy.
All right, okay. Thanks, sports dog. Thank you.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. All Sides Weekend continues in just a moment. Tune in to WOSU TV tonight at 9:30 for Columbus on the Record. Mike Thompson and his panel will discuss a possible casino compromise, the influence of lobbyists, and the return of Congressman James Traficant. All that and much more on Columbus on the Record tonight at 9:30 on WOSU-TV. And be sure to start your Saturday mornings with Scott Simon and Weekend Edition on WOSU 89.7 FM. The program begins at 8 o'clock. 14 degrees in downtown Columbus, a winter weather advisory in effect until 4 o'clock this afternoon. You can expect a little snow today, an accumulation of less than an inch and a high of 20 degrees. Clouds tonight with a little snow tonight and a low of 10 degrees. Mostly cloudy and snow flurries on Saturday and a high of 20. Sunny on Sunday and a high of 20 degrees. All Sides Weekend continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about restaurants. It's our monthly restaurant show with restaurant critics Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Steve Stover today. And you are invited to join the conversation as well. We have Skip on the line. Good morning. Skip, are you there?
I am.
Go ahead.
I just have a comment on the Deepwood. We were motivated to go there by the Columbus Monthly advertisement with the retail wine pricing from 3 to 7. The only problem I discovered, we really enjoyed it, and it was a great eating experience and so on, but I thought the wine list was kind of limited. It went from a couple of inexpensive wines to very expensive wines with not a very good choice in between. Mm. Otherwise, I thought the Deepwood was a terrific, terrific restaurant.
Great, thank you.
Good point, and that should note to any restaurant people who are listening, it's that medium price that people are interested in. But give them credit for having wine at state minimum retail, even from 4 to 7. Right. I think Spaggio Cellars does that, too, on Grandview Avenue.
But, yeah, people, you do have to have some of those medium-range wines. People don't want to come in and, you know, pay $28 a bottle for what they pick up at Kroger for $8.99.
292-8513, and Ira is joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. You were talking about a Greek restaurant, the Mikanos in Stone Ridge. That's a fantastic Greek restaurant. It's essentially the owners are husband and wife. And one thing I have to tell about their food, it's the only Greek restaurant I've done that actually I finished my euro because it was hot when it came to my table. And they have delicious food on every Friday and Saturday night. They have entertainment. It's a fantastic place to go.
And that's Mykonos. Okay.
Yeah.
It's in the island. Okay. Thank you.
On Stone Ridge, did you say?
Yeah.
It's
Stone Ridge. And, I mean, they have a fantastic food, actually. They make it all the food is made by the wife of the owner. And I guess they used to have a catering company, and they started this restaurant about a year ago, and the food is fantastic.
Okay, well,
thank you very much for
your call this morning, 292-8513. And we have another second recommendation for Mazza, which is on Grandview Avenue. And then we had another email from someone who wanted to tell us about Cafe Ephesus?
Ephesus in Dublin.
And are you familiar with that?
I haven't been there, but I am familiar with it, and we are blessed to have quite a number of good Turkish restaurants in Columbus, and I can't remember the name at Cafe Istanbul at Easton, and unfortunate name, Cafe Shish Kebab, but good food on Bethel Road between Godown and Reed. And so we'll want to check out Cafe. Turkish cuisine is like Middle Eastern cuisine, but a little more grilled things and more emphasis on grilled meats. Did I see a three-course lunch for $9.99? I'm there.
292-8513. If you have a question or a recommendation this morning, give us a call. We have Craig on the line. Good morning, Craig.
Hello. I was interested in hearing what the guests, what their favorite places for more traditional or classic pizza are. When I was a kid, there was a place called Leonardo's Pizza in Upper Arlington that had the best pizza I've ever eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never found anything as good.
Well, the same location of the original Leonardo's has a Panzera's now. And I would say I was a Leonardo's fan when I was in high school. We would go there every night like the folks at the East End go to the
Rubino's.
Rubino's. I mean, it was that. Of course, we had Tommy's at the in those days too. And
well,
we
Tommy's is still there.
The original pizza places down in Grandview. I can't remember. They were the original one. But anyway – I would say in that vein, if you're looking for the Leonardo's style pizza, that the Panzera's in Grandview and on, off Fishinger Road, and Rotolo's, which now has seven locations, real made-from-scratch pizza dough, a little more thicker and less crackery crust than the Tommy's. So I think those would be along the lines.
Well, I would definitely check that out. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Thank you very much. And Dewey's Pizza on Fifth Avenue is a new
I've been hearing great things about
it
that.
It is terrific. We go there pretty regularly.
It's really?
Pretty good. Yeah. I should also mention there is a new pizza restaurant opening up in Old Town East, which is a great sign, called Yellow Brick Pizza. I believe it's on Oak Street, I think 892 Oak, and they are doing East Coast-style pizzas. They hand-knead the dough. It's a New York-style sauce. I have yet actually to be there, but I've heard great things about it. They also have a bar as well. So that's drop by and check it out. That's a great sign for Old Town East. They've got Black Creek Bistro down there, which is kind of anchoring the neighborhood. So it's great to see another restaurant move
in. And is this open now? Or
yes, I believe it just opened.
What's new on the Black Creek Bistro? They're wonderful, great wine place.
They have not moved yet. I think the owner, Kent Peters, is attempting to do most of the renovations to that old firehouse catty corner to them at Oak and Parsons.
It used to be Columbus Music Hall.
Yeah, it used to be the Music Hall. It's originally an old firehouse. It kind of looks like a castle. It's a great-looking building. He actually gave me a tour of it and described to me what he wants to do, but I think he's trying to do a lot of the work himself. And, you know, that costs some money, so I would not anticipate them moving over there this year. They do have parking now, catty corner to them, next to that building, just so everyone knows.
Right across the street.
It used to be very difficult to park at Black Creek Bistro.
Great parking.
Also, a lot of local sourcing from their own farm.
Okay, thank you. 292-8513. April is with us. Good morning, April. Hello.
Hi. I wasn't sure if you guys had talked about Barcelona yet in German Village.
I haven't mentioned it yet. That's one of my top five restaurants in Columbus. I absolutely love it. I actually know a lot of the people that work there, both personally and from going there. I think it's wonderful.
I like it. Yeah. I think it probably has the most beautiful patio in Columbus.
I was going to say it's the best place to go in the summer for a patio dining. Yeah.
I think it's one of the best looking restaurants in Columbus as well. Great date place.
We should do a top 10. Everybody do their top 10 sometime because I would like to. Rich's is real interesting.
Yeah.
Rich and I are pretty close, I think. Old Rich.
We try not to call him that.
It's a generational thing.
292-8513. And Bob is with us. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
I want to know if anybody knows a decent restaurant in town that serves beef ribs.
Well, I think beef ribs is one of those items that goes on and off of a menu depending on the time.
You mean short ribs or beef ribs like barbecue beef ribs?
Like beef ribs instead of pork ribs, I believe you mean.
Right, right. Okay.
I don't know.
Any ideas?
Good question.
You know, the restaurant that was in the site where Gibby's left, that North Star is.
Third and Hollywood?
Now. Yeah, that restaurant right in between there was like EJ's Country Lodge or something. It was only open for a short time. They used to have great short ribs there. And, you know, from time to time, I think they're a specialty item on people's
menus. If anybody knows of any restaurants in town that do serve beef ribs, give us a call.
You know, I think they were on the skillets menu the day. The skillet menu
those
the day
might have
we
been
there, but it was
beef
crust.
Short, you might find beef short ribs braised short ribs at several places around town. But
they're everywhere. Yeah. I just did a story on them.
But if you're referring to, the long
– grilled ribs, maybe JP's. Out and on near Bolton Field might have beef ribs. I would call first.
292-8513. You can call us at that number or go online, allsideswosu.org. We are talking with restaurant critics Steve Stover today, along with Rich Terapek and his son Rich. If you have any questions or contributions, you can join the conversation as well. And Adam is joining us. Hi. Adam, are you there?
Oh, yes. I was wondering, there's a new Indian restaurant going in
to where the Tom's on Grandview was. Any information on that?
Oh, that's interesting. No, that's Tom's sign is still to us. Up, isn't it?
Tom's was open, and then they started doing catering, and now I guess they're out of business.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, the are. Sign is still there.
I know. I've been going by. I go by there almost every day, and I did not know that. That's important intelligence. Thank you.
Who is this?
Cincinnati, but I can't remember the name of him. So
okay.
Well, we'll certainly look for that.
Yeah, thank you. We don't have. There's no Indian anywhere near there. So that's
that would be a great addition.
Yeah, most of the Indian is up north. So that would be terrific. Yeah.
It's a nice looking restaurant. I'm glad it's going to stay one.
I think though that after whatever was there before, they did a huge renovation that had practically had to be gutted.
Was it Magnolia or something like that?
That was early on, and then it was. Yeah. Well, it was another one.
Pity Pat's Porch or something like that at the beginning. There was this little
at the beginning of time
southern theme. Unfortunately, I've been to every single incarnation. It might have been a there might have been a Graydon Webb.
This was Frank somebody. It was a name, and then they moved to the Short North.
Frank. The guy who had Frank's Diner. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the original guy, Braddock.
Braddock's, that's right.
So it's been at least four or five things.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's right along that very popular strip of Grandview Avenue that's so well attended by people who live in Arlington, Grandview.
Good traffic.
Great street traffic. A lot of people go to those
places. It's a model for any – I mean, that's what, you know, what we're – in our neighborhood in Bexar, that's what we're trying to become is more like Grandview, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what's made that neighborhood really come up over the last 15 years.
And I don't know if they've started rebuilding the other side of the street that fell victim to the fire last year. But I think
it's open. The buildings are up and almost all the places are occupied.
Not where the fire was, I don't think.
On the east side of Grandview Avenue across from the little bookstore and stuff like that? Yeah, I think it is. I did an article in the Arlington News that they're
I thought they had plans. I thought they published architectural plans.
That would be awfully
I was there
bad.
Last week and it was empty.
I was going to say it was the Christmas miracle.
I was wondering whether Z Cucina was still open.
That's still there.
Because it was right next to it. But it
Vino
is.
Vino and – yeah. And
Filio's on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
2928513 and –
I was just thinking that we ought to mention there are a few more openings and also things coming in the new year before we run out of time. There was, of course, Dirty Frank's down on 4th Street, which has gotten a ton of press. If you haven't heard about it, you've been living under a rock. It's excellent. And coming soon, there's a place, Little Palace, that was open for years, two doors down from Dirty Frank's on 4th, near Rich Street, that has been purchased by the owners of Club 185 and Rossi. It's to open up this spring. It will be very similar to the 185 theme, you know, bar food, you know, casual, nice happy hour environment. We also had the opening of Gordon's Gourmet on Dublin Road, which also does catering. And then also coming up, we have from the folks who brought you La Tavola, Rick and Crystal Lopez, a restaurant called Need opening in February.
K-N-E.
Yeah.
Not N-E-E-D.
Rick and Crystal Lopez.
Right. And that's at 505 North High Street.
And also Cabo on Riverside Drive. I think that's some of the people from the Tucci's Oscars group, if I'm not mistaken, a Mexican concept in the old La Tavola location on Riverside Drive south of 161.
And what do you know about Need? Is it a bakery based? It sounds, you know.
Well, Ricky's cooking is mostly Italian, Rick Lopez. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be a little different concept with maybe more, I think, small plates.
That's what I think. I don't know if it's maybe it's a.
It's downtown, which is completely out of character for him and Krista.
Yeah.
But they're really good, and I'm big supporters of their food. So.
From what I understand, it wasn't, you know, for lack of a fan base for La Tavola or anything. I think it was just from what I read in an interview with Rick, I believe it was, that it was just it was too wearing on them. They needed a new challenge and. So, but La Tavola was a great place.
Big place. Maybe this will be a little smaller. You know,
more manageable.
They do all their own cooking and stuff. So,
2928513 and Sherry is joining us. Good morning. Hello.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I was wondering if there is a Peruvian place in town. We could get like a Peruvian chicken and all the sides takeout.
There used to be one out on Stone Ridge, but it's been at least 10 years. Mm. I mean, we have a Salvadorian, we've got Eritrean, Ethiopian, stuff like that. But Peruvian is something that we don't have with the potato, diced potato and pea salad and the chicken and things like that.
What is the place on Pearl Alley? Is that Ecuadorian?
Al Arepa is but it is close.
We've been there. Okay. But Al Arepa. When I visit family in D.C. in the Los Angeles area, they always just get a chicken to go with all the sides, and it's great. And I didn't think we had any.
Briefly, we did, but not right now that I'm aware.
All right.
Thank you very much for your call this morning. And Annabelle is on hold. Go ahead, Annabelle.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yes.
I was just wondering, when you go to a restaurant, you're reviewing it for the first time, what kinds of things will you maybe forgive on a first or a second visit?
If it's a new restaurant, we'll probably give them a little more time for service. Just training staff is sometimes difficult, and getting staff to show up on a regular basis. We had that was a little bit of the issue at the Plantain Cafe. They had only a couple of servers, and one of them didn't show that day.
We kind of broke our rule, though, that day. We generally won't go to a place until it's been open at least about 2 months, just so they can work out the kinks. I personally am not very forgiving of many things. So,
believe me, I know.
Well, that's father and son, Rich Terapek. We are talking about restaurants. Were you thinking of something specific when you asked that question?
No, not at all.
Well, I'm just sort of the facilitator and the arbitrator sometimes, apparently, when we go out. I'm not a restaurant critic or a reviewer by any means. So to me, it's just kind of a kick to go out with these two guys who really do know all of their spices and even the difference sometimes between spinach and arugula.
But I got the fennel.
I got the fennel flower.
I think, though, that we don't want to hurt anybody's business, obviously. Right. And I would almost prefer not to review a place rather than give it a really bad review.
Right. And if we've tried it too soon, we won't until we get a chance to go
back.
We'll
try it again. I think our mission really with the podcast that we do on WSU is to promote local restaurants. And, you know, when we hear about good things, we go and try them and we try and share them with the community so that these places can succeed.
Well, but we do have an obligation to listeners as well.
And I'm probably the most critical of us. When we do have a bad experience, I'll be the first to say so. But generally what we try to do is find positives out there, not negatives.
Thank you very much for your call. And Richard is joining us. We just have a couple of minutes. Go ahead, Richard.
Yes, I want to know a little bit about the history of the monk in Bexley. I was there recently, and it seems to have slipped a bit.
How recently were you there? Because it was actually just recently, about 2 months ago, new ownership and a new chef took over. How recently were you there?
Within the two months, maybe five weeks.
And as I mentioned, our two-month rule, that could have been kinks. The monk has slid over the years, Dad, if you might.
Yeah, the monk's been around for probably over 20 years. A couple of good friends were the original investors. It's still a pretty popular place in our neighborhood on the east side.
I love the ambiance.
Yeah.
You know, the service, the tables weren't clean between the dishes and – It was just I didn't realize that it changed again here in the last couple of months.
The food quality actually over the last couple of years has really been maintained, I think. And they have some new specials at the bar. You can get a pizza and a glass of wine for $10.
On Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
And they still have live entertainment most nights of the week. I often go over there to see Sonia Modes on piano. It's a jazz jam session on Monday nights, I believe. They've got a blues band on Thursday evenings, but
they try to emulate.
You're obviously not home studying.
They're not in school anymore.
He knows
Steve.
All this stuff.
I think that the menu items are kind of the American Bistro type of things. Give it another shot in a week or two.
But the new ownership is a gentleman named Ramo Stripe and Chef Ben Geltzer, who used to be at Hyde Park. And I've looked at their new menu. I've actually yet to try them for dinner. It's excellent.
Thank you all very much. Thanks for your calls this morning. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Side Weekend. We talked with Rich Terapek and his son, Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU, along with Steve Stover, who writes about food and restaurants here in Columbus. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News is coming up next. It's 12 o'clock.